We're going to make a little adjustment on our agenda here. We're going to go to our 10 o'clock speaker. So our next speaker is founder and CEO of MBI Oil and Gas and MBI Energy Services. He's also a Billings County Commissioner, having served as a chairman in 2007. MBI Energy Resources, an oil field service provider in the Williston Basin. He has been the president and chief executive officer of MBI Energy since 2010. He serves as the director of the MBI Leasing, MBI Real Estate, LLC, and MBI Oil and Gas. He's also served on the executive committee of North Dakota Petroleum Council member and executive committee of the North Dakota Association of Oil and Gas Producing Counties. He also must like horse racing as he serves as the thankless job as the North Dakota Racing Commission. Bellfield claims him as his hometown boy. He employs hundreds of people and knows the oil industry up and down. Please give a welcome to Jim Arthod.
That was actually very enlightening for me. It told me that we are one. There are the same difficulties. But I'd like to start mine off as a past board member of the association with a thank you to the present board and to all the people that spent their time at the state this year. I made it a point not to go to the state this year. It's the first time since 1979 I didn't spend half my life at the session. So I understand the frustrations, understand, you know, it's probably maddening at the best, the way we come out of there and the way we go in there at the beginning. So there's no doubt that what you say is correct. With that said, Jack Dalrymple has become a friend of mine. His chief of staff's good guys. There's good people there, but the messaging is always tough for us. And like as Vicki knows, she sits there a member. So from Billings County, MBI Energy Services, we would like to thank that the efforts that the people put forward and the surge funding that we got in our county was a great blessing for us. We can always use more. We can always spend more. Without a doubt, we need more, and it's a long struggle process. So, agree. But again, I really appreciated listening to you and to understand where you're coming from, where you're going, and it's great to think that we all have the same things in common and the same struggles. So, Vicki asked me if I would sit up here and talk about the state of the industry. Would you like me to start with the good? Okay, we're done. Yeah, so you got to look at it through my eyes. I'm a generational oil and gas person. My father was what we'll call a Coke baby, the evil Coke brothers. He worked for them all his life, so I grew up in a truck. My mother's from Banks, North Dakota, north of Watford City. My father was an educator at Fairview, Montana. So we're, again, generational people. Interesting enough about the Mandan Park over by Stanton, I happen to own the land that borders that. So I'm pretty familiar with that area, too. So a lot of commonality. Like I say, we're all just a people. But from the industry standpoint, from a service company standpoint, I started my business in 1979. With one person, and we grew it last year. I think we peaked at 2,100 employees. Now with the industry the way it is, there's nothing pretty about it from a service company standpoint. It's a struggle. Commodity prices are a struggle. The business is a struggle. We work harder in a low commodity price environment from a service company standpoint and an employer than we ever do when oil prices are good. One of the saddest things probably what's going on right now is to see all the people that relocated to North Dakota to take advantage of the opportunity, to see them lose their jobs, their faith probably in the economy again. They came from a terrible economy. They come into a good economy. It runs good for a while. Then all of a sudden, they're sitting there going, well, now I have to go home and tell my wife that I got laid off. I have no job. You know, so it's a very thankless job as a CEO to be able to communicate that message to employees that are no longer employed. Positive side of things, 1982, I think it was, there was zero drilling rigs running in North Dakota. We still have 70 drilling rigs running. You know, from a county commissioner standpoint, from a citizen standpoint, infrastructure is great. I told Steve 5 years ago, he'd be Class A. I think it was 5 years ago. Time flies. He laughed at me. I think you're Class A now, right? Next year you'll be Class A. Beautiful schools, beautiful rec centers, highways are getting there. You know, towns are coming back. We went from consolidations of schools to unconsolidating schools in Western North Dakota. Seeing the paper the other day, my mom, who's 87, still waits for the weekly Watford City paper, so I read it weekly. Alexander has a football team again. So some real positive things have come out of it. Struggles, there's going to be some struggles going forward. There's going to be some people that are going to go by the wayside. There's going to be probably some infrastructure bonds that are going to wonder how we're going to pay for infrastructure bonds. There's going to be some companies that are going to fold. There's going to be some consolidation. Why has this happened? I was thinking about why, and I think Lynn Helms will probably talk about it a lot, but why did oil prices become what oil prices became? Because we became too good at what we did. So 1973, my father transferred to Kansas for the evil Koch brothers, and I moved into a town called Scott City, Kansas. How many people raise wheat in this room, or how many people are in the ag industry? Quite a few, right? 1973, a bushel of wheat was $5. Today, it's $3.50. But I'd just be curious to wonder if the same gross value is not taken off an acre of land today as was in 1973 at $5. I think, if I remember on Belfield, if you raise 30 bushels an acre, you did a pretty good job. I was talking to some guys yesterday, 70 bushels, best crop ever, lowest price. So, you know, we've just become way, way too efficient. You know, you don't get to walk down to Corn Row pheasant hunting anymore. There's no more corn rows. You don't have to till in between your corn. You have corn that can grow and take herbicides or pesticides or GMOs. So, you know, it's a lot of the same things across all commodities you see in the world today. Ironically enough, I was just, obviously I read everything I can read every 10 minutes looking for a bright spot in life, right? So I was reading back here was when I just walked in. I left Medora at 7 this morning, by the way. I didn't get here until 9, a little after 9. So there's still an oil field out there without a doubt, but we ended up following a gas compressor. So, you know, the strong dollar is very painful for a commodity producer. You know, it's America, really, that's the only country in the world that's actually seeing $40 crude oil. You take Russia, they're still at equivalent to $100 crude oil. They sell their crude oil in dollar-dominated market, pay for all their services in rubles. So, you know, it's just dislocated. So what's the positive of weak oil price? I was telling my New York investors the other day, I said, have you ever seen the oil and gas industry benefit when the housing economy collapsed? I said, no. I said, will you see the rest of the economy in the United States benefit from an oil price collapse? They said, well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. You're seeing manufacturing coming back. You're seeing housing coming back. You're seeing gas prices low. So my gut, you always have to be a positive person if you're going to be in the business. My gut tells me that a low oil price is a stimulus for the economy. Drives consumptions, it's obvious. Consumption numbers, gasoline consumption are highest they've been in years and years and years. 7% month over month last month. You know, I was reading the Bloomberg deal today. In the United States, has the lowest price gasoline in the world in relationship to average income. So 1.6% of your income is spent on gasoline consumption in America. Canada, it's 4.2. India, it's 8%. So, you know, you always have to look at the backside of things. You have to build your business fully believing that we'll come back out of this thing. The difference between oil and gas today and oil and gas in 1982 was out of the 190 rigs we had running in 1982, I'd say you'd be stretching to say that 30% of those wells were productive. Where today you might have some failures, but they'd be mechanical. But you know, every well is a geologic success. So it's not if, it's a when. From a service company standpoint, you say hate to see a commodity collapse. From a county commissioner or a reservation leader, it does give you a chance to take a breather and take a look at things. As with our business ourselves, there's a bunch of inefficiencies that were in our business that you have an opportunity now to take a look at and see how you change, see how you can make it better. But the geologic setting of the Bakken, Three Forks oil and gas has been proven. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be developed. It's not if, it's when. It's a great resource. It's interesting you talk about the federal government. I think that while some of us county commissioners deal with the feds all the time, Billings County is 50% federal land, so we understand the challenges, but we understand that there's some positives that come out of it also. But we do deal with federal government all the time. But ironically enough, I think the oil and gas industry probably deals with the federal agencies as much as a nation that is directly under a federal agency. I mean, we deal with the EPAs, we deal with the OSHAs, we deal with all of it. And it's just stunning to me that when things slow down and oil gas prices go down, they appear full strength. You know, you take the water deal, now you're taking the Clean Air Act. You have to have faith that really their intent might be true, but you look at it, you go, well, what are you really trying to accomplish by shutting down coal industry, for example? I was actually at one of the coal mines the other day to pick up some riprap for my river project on the Knife across from the Stanton. And to see what those folks and those coal mines, those young engineers, to see what they're going through. And we, as an oil and gas industry, look at a commodity price. Those people in those coal mines are looking at, not only do we have a low commodity price, we have an administration that is just trying to decimate fossil fuels. So we have the same absolute challenges from a federal government standpoint that many of us in the room do. So I was talking to Jeff Kummer on the way down today. He said he took a tour of Watford City's new school and recreation deal. He said it was just absolutely beautiful. So there's some really nice things. This building, I think, is probably going to be with Dunn County, one of the, this will be here for 30 years, 40 years. It'll be a community center. Say Williston's got some good infrastructure going on. It's going to be a struggle. I personally do not see commodity price increase, but I always tell people, if anybody tells you what they think and when it's going to increase, call them a liar, because they don't know any more than anybody else. But I do believe if you look at pure fundamental side of things, you're looking at a 2018, probably before you see some commodity increase of any sustainability. But again, I think it's going to be not the gradual deal. It's going to be, here we go again. And again, that's what's going to happen to the industry. Here we're going to go again. We just can never seem to have the steady. We're going to come, the rigs are going to come, the people are going to come back in. But at least this time we'll have the infrastructure to set up. Hopefully we'll have the people to take care of it again also. We would love, as an industry, to be able to export crude oil. You know, all of our delegation is fully behind the ability or the the working to try to have the ability to export crude oil. And again, I'd like to, you know, just put it in perspective to an ag producer, it'd be like saying you can't export wheat. We might let you export some buns after you've manufactured it and everything's done here, but you're not going to export raw grain. So it puts us on a very unfair playing field, and some of us go as far as we don't get to export, but we're going to take the sanctions off Iran now, and they're going to be able to export. So it's a very confusing market, but our delegation's working very hard on trying to get us to have the ability to export, which many, many studies have. The boogeyman says it's going to raise gasoline prices. The people that have done the actual studies of it have said it's going to be better for gasoline prices. I mean, what America has done, revolutionized on unconventional oil and gas, is just, I look back at it, reflect back at it every day and go, what have we done? We've actually created the biggest powerhouse that you could ever create in the world. We have the cheapest energy in the world. Manufacturing's starting to come back. We have coal that's good for 600 years. We have the largest coal reserves in the world. I didn't realize that. Nat gas now is just beyond. We're going to finally get the opportunity to start exporting nat gas. $2 nat gas is crazy. I can remember it being $50 in the last 10 years, MCF. So what we've done is created some sustainability on our energy side of thing to bring jobs back to America. So, you know, I always say, when an American sees somebody from Exxon, they should say, thank you. Thank you for making my gasoline $2. Thank you for bringing the factory jobs back home. Thank you for making not us being held hostage by somebody in the Middle East saying we're gonna close the taps on you guys if you don't start paying attention. And we're going, my buddies say we should close the taps on them right now and make them start paying attention, but it doesn't really work that way when you're a capitalist. So, damn it, I am a capitalist. So you know, like I say, it's a struggle. You're going to see some struggles on Main Street. You're going to see some struggles with companies. You're going to see some individuals hurt. You're going to see some of the same social issues. We're going to have the hangover of the social issues. People with problems don't seem to be the first people to go look for an opportunity someplace else. People with problems are probably going to stay around the communities longer than the people that have the motivation and the means to move on. So I think you would see a spike in social services in percent of population coming forward, without a doubt in my mind. I don't have any facts or figures on that other than walking around and understanding it, but we'll come out of it with really good infrastructure. The businesses and the oil companies that survive will come out of it better. They'll be better companies in the end. And when the commodity prices come back, guess what? We're not going to need $120 oil to make a profit. You know, there's guys making profits at 50, and then that goes right back to the same technology as the farmer raising 60 bushel wheat on an acre of land versus in 73 he could only raise 20-25. Oil and gas industry is the same way. The ERC, John could talk for a week on all the things that they've studied to make the industry more efficient, more cost effective, cost of recovery a lot cheaper. So with that said, I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful children, as a lot of the people that work for us do, and we just have to, the hand that's dealt with us, we have to deal with it the way it is, and there will always be some good that will come out of some pain for some other thing. But I do, as a county commissioner and as a past board member, that was very well thought out talk you gave, and we do have the same maddening experiences with the legislatures that think that we all have it all good out here, and we do as counties need to share in more of the wealth that we've had and we've gained every session. But it's a battle that we all we go back into our rooms and we go, why do we have to do this battle? You know, we're the ones that are feeling the pain for it. We're the ones that are putting up with it. We're the ones that have it. Why should we have to do that? But guess what? We have to do it. And we get better at it every time. And to share in the commonality of the struggles of it just makes complete sense to me. But so, Vicki, I got to thank you for inviting him. That was enlightening for me, and I think it should be for the rest of the people in the room. So with that being said, I don't know what else to say than it'll be all right. It's a matter of when. So thank you.